This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and I recently decided to give Sterling Soap Company's Ground Breakfast Blend coffee a try. While brewing, the aroma was inviting, and the taste? Lightly sweet and delicious, as the texture of this amazing coffee was sweet and smooth, as I experienced a coffee with a velvety texture, almost creamy. Sterling's breakfast blend is light but in no way weak, with a high quality taste and smell. My wife and I are now hooked on Sterling Soap coffee, and you should be too. Check out their coffees and other products at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Gridiron America Today, where right now it is just Dave and I, and we are waiting for Mike at some point here to jump in. We got a lot of things to talk about in a short amount of time. Honestly, least of which is, in my mind, kind of the whole CFL week that was. And we'll explain why, and if you're watching on YouTube, well, you know exactly why. Kind of light on the football talk, but more on the other talk that matters because of the death of a certain player over, you know, star, you know, we had a death in the family, for lack of a better term. So, so it's kind of hard to talk football and talk scores and everything, but we're going to talk about that. And also too, let's talk about what's going on. You know, Canada is affecting, you know, there's a lot of news coming out of Canada. And, you know, Canada kind of screwed up your weekend, Dave. They're over the weekend with the wildfires.
Yes, it made our scout adventure camp trip very interesting. But, you know, it happens, and what are you going to do? But it was fun to get away as long as we did.
All right. Well, Mike is joining us now. So we got him.
Hey, guys.
Hey, bud. Well, let's okay. So let's start before we go into, you know, the death. You know, the main thing that, you know, again, when you have the death of a player like we had this weekend, it's kind of hard to really, at least to me, just kind of get all into the football and then, you know, the nuts and bolts of the games and everything. But we'll save the subject for the show here in just a minute, but let's go real quickly over the games. We had Edmonton winning over BC 19-17, Montreal 38-32 over Calgary. We had Hamilton 1-point win over Toronto 24-23, and then Winnipeg and Ottawa 36-34. So looking at our scores and everything here, pretty damn good week of CFL football.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So, Mike, let me ask you, because you're a bit of our note taker here right now. Did you catch all the games?
I mostly watched the Ottawa game.
Okay.
That was an interesting game, but I did catch the highlights on YouTube. So, took notes, as you mentioned, and I don't think there was really a bad game. There were some games that were closer than maybe they should have been, but in the grand scheme of things, from a fan's perspective, it was a good week of football.
Mm-hmm. That it was. And I guess we start off with the Edmonton-BC game. It's, you know, the rematch. I was expecting BC to win, and obviously they had a chance of winning, but didn't quite pan out that way.
Yeah, I think with BC, it was too little too late. Most of their points scored was at the end of the game. And then conversely for Edmonton, field goals saved the game for him after Justin Rankin only had 11 yards, which is, I was surprised when I seen that, but you know, all you got to play all three phases of the game, and special teams came clutch for Edmonton.
Well, it goes to show you that even the great ones have bad games. And he's turning out to be one of the great ones, at least right now. I mean, that's kind of the projected path he's been going. Dave, your thoughts?
BC has their number. I mean, this is the second time this year they've done that. And they've held Rankin in check. But it was something to look at heading into this game. And it'll be interesting to see where BC goes, and with Nathan Rourke not playing, and the status of that as well. I thought Chase Bryce played pretty well. Four picks is not obviously not what they not something they want to see happen. But I thought for what he probably had a short week and not a whole lot of snaps, I thought he played pretty well. And as Mike said, it was a little too late. But just BC, I'm not sure if every team's going to watch that BC defense and see what they do to Edmonton, but it was impressive to see how they held them in, held that running game in check and made Fajardo beat them in essence, because there was zero running whatsoever.
Yeah. Do you guys think, I mean, is it too early to write BC off?
I mean, if they keep having 213 yards of offense in a game, they're going to be right at the bottom with Ottawa. So I think that they've got to turn it around. But, you know, again, as Dave mentioned, it doesn't help when your quarterback's throwing four picks.
Yeah. And, I mean, and then we have other issues with Nathan Rourke, too. If, again, this is where senility, I think, kind of might be mixing games up. But didn't Nathan get hit? I mean, he took a hell of a hit. And knocked him out. They knocked him out of the game for a bit, or for the entire game. I can't remember now off the top of my head. Mike?
Yeah, I agree.
Anybody? Anybody?
No, but it's just, it's going to be.
No, wait. Didn't Nathan Rourke get knocked out of the game last week?
He wasn't on the stat board.
I'm showing Chase Bryce. Man, this is my bad. This is where, you know, sometimes I watch too much football and have too many other things going on. But no, Chase Bryce was quarterback for the entire game. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm mixing my weekend.
No, please. It's a lot of games, a lot of quarterbacks. No problem.
Just wait till the NFL season, man. I got to start taking notes like you guys do, because I'm not going to be 41 teams trying to fit, you know. Talk about 41 teams. So, but yeah, no, Chase Bryce did a good job keeping BC in the game.
Yeah. And something, yeah, Dave, go ahead.
No, Mike, jump in. No problem.
One thing I will just kind of just slightly mention, when you bring in an import to be your franchise quarterback, you really have to utilize the draft picks. And I think that's something that BC is struggling with, is drafting the appropriate line to protect their quarterback. Because there's hardly any imports that come in to play offensive line. It's going to be your skilled position guys for the most part. There are some, but it's far and few compared to the skilled position guys. So, again, BC and other teams, they really have to utilize picking the best players that's going to help their offensive line. And I think you see a trend in that in the last 7 or 8 years in the CFL draft. Majority of the top 10 guys taken are going to be the offensive or defensive line.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is with the CFL, I mean, this is kind of about par for the course when it comes to quarterbacks right now for the CFL. So you got Rourke out. You got, obviously, Bo Levi. I mean, I expect the quarterbacks playing now to not be playing by the end of the year, or whoever's left standing at the start of the season by the end of the year will be the Grey Cup champion. If they keep the same quarterback through the year. That's just I kind of think that's how it always goes every year. At least it feels like it goes every year. Thoughts, Dave? Mike?
You need two. You need a minimum of two who can play. And there's no, you can try and think that you can get by with one, but you need it. It's just too long of a season to try and keep someone upright, 18 games plus the playoffs. It's just, it's impossible.
Yeah.
With this game. And what Mike brought up was a tremendous point. And I think that is something that's not talked about enough in the CFL, which is the offensive line play. Yeah. Because you might have, of those five players, you might have one import. You might have a tackle, like the blindside tackle or somebody who is an anchor. But you're not, yeah. You don't have, most teams don't have guard centers. Like it's going to be Canadian players. And it's, the draft this year was exactly what Mike said. It's finding the best cream of the crop Canadian offensive lineman, and whoever can find that right mix is going to win. And it's clear every single year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a close game, but Edmonton, I mean, they're for real. I mean, we're at a, and did, you know, the other thing too about the Edmonton game, hey, people showed up.
It was a nice crowd.
It was a nice crowd. So, I mean, this goes, and this is what kind of, it gets under my skin when I'm on social media, on CFL social media, which is filled, I mean, let's call it what it is, bunch of old white men in their 50s and their 60s, kind of like me, kind of, Dave's like getting ready to cross that threshold. Mike's kind of far away. So, but yeah, everybody's bitching and moaning about the name change and this and that. And I'm like, well, just put a winning product on the field and people will show up. And maybe Edmonton will do what they did. Do you guys remember several years ago? I mean, maybe even 10 years ago now, where they had like, I don't know, $5 beer night and like the entire end zone area was packed. They had like 40,000 people that night for a game. So I think, you know, if I were an owner, I'd be investing in a beer distributorship deal or something. Cause that's what, winning football and alcohol, that's a winning combination.
winning cures a lot of ailments in the sport. And I think to your point, Greg, you're seeing a lot of the same issues south of the border at the U.S. Capitol with the Washington team. Everybody got an uproar about the name change. You know what? If you're putting a winning product on the field, it ain't going to make a difference. And also, when you look at, you know, prices, look at what Atlanta's owner is doing at the Falcons games. Like, everything's affordable. I think the most expensive thing is beer is like $6. You get hot dogs for $3, burgers for $4. That's family friendly pricing, and that's going to put more people in the stadium. The product on the field, you know, is what it is. But again, if you can add good hospitality with a winning product, you've got a hell of a good combination.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, everything is so expensive nowadays, even over here trying to go, you know, I'm looking at prices, say going to a baseball game here. Cause you know, football, you can get a football games for free here, but when it comes like baseball, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just, it's gotta be affordable, but seeing the seat, you know, seeing the fact that there were so many people in the seats that I could not figure out, I could not pinpoint any of the crew from the Turf District, because normally I see them. It's, you know, hey, friends of mine on TV all the time, you know, but no, it was a full house. So it was nice to see. Hopefully it continues. My only complaint, and I'm going to throw my old man hat on here, honestly, I wish Edmonton would put, you know, go back to their old logo on the helmet. That's just me. I don't like their current uniform.
It feels too Silicon Valley-esque, you know, it's too modern. I like just EE. I mean, it's still Edmonton Elks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree 100% with you. So, all right. So let's move on here. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
Real quick. I'm going to put my marketing hat. If they can figure it out and say go 12-6 this year, wouldn't that be an amazing thing to introduce next year as part of your season ticket push with a 12-6 team that may have gone to the Western Conference final or something like that, going, hey, we're bringing the double E back, a double E helmet back, like
bringing the oval back.
Well, the thing is, if you don't have anybody coming, regardless of what you do, it's going to be hard. If you go 8-9 and you bring back the old helmet, it's not gonna pop.
Right.
But if this team continues winning, that's when you can introduce some of these marketing things or things that can all of a sudden
lean on the nostalgia.
Yeah. So a 12 and 6 team, a 13-5 team, all those people who said they were never coming back, all of a sudden, well, these guys, it's like Major League. These guys aren't so bad.
Yeah, which is kind of what the Commander should do, if you think about it. Take that old Redskin logo and modify it and put George Washington on there and do something with the feathers and figure something out to lean heavy and keep the Commanders but still keep the Redskins alive. I mean,
they're tiptoeing in that, Greg. I don't know if you noticed, but they just unveiled their uniforms for this year. It's the Redskins logo, but it doesn't have that name mentioned, but it's the exact same logo on the jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm giving the new owner, now that Snyder's gone, I'll give the new owner some grace and give him some time, because it sounds like he's got a lot of great ideas. I mean, they're putting Riggins in the Hall of Fame. I honestly thought he was already in the Redskins Hall of Fame. Like when I saw this,
he's not in there already.
Yeah, so it's good to see that.
Yeah, it was the same way, though, when the Bears finally retired Butkus and Sayers jerseys. Like, wait a minute. They weren't retired? And then you see those two guys standing out in the pouring rain with their jersey. I'm like, this should have been a lot. This should have happened a long, long time ago. So, All right. Well, moving on, we got Montreal over Calgary, 38-32. Montreal, hey, they're the team to beat right now. In the East, Calgary. I mean, Calgary is still that's a team that even though they're 2-4, they could easily be 4-1.
Yeah,
I mean their record is not reflecting of the way they've been playing.
I could see this as a potential Grey Cup game.
Yeah,
Calgary. I mean, Calgary. Calgary can't be this good. Like I think they are a very balanced team in the same aspects in the same way as Montreal is. So I could see Calgary coming out of the West 4 months from now.
Yeah. We got a long way to go.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys' takeaways from this, other than, you know, Montreal just keeps doing what Montreal does.
Yeah, to your guys' points, another slow start for Calgary. Vernon Adams, you know, he's on fire. He had 3 touchdowns, no turnovers. And then they also have the league's leading rusher, Dedrick Mills. He had 130 yards and a touchdown. So offensively, they've got the firepower, but they've got to put it in another gear in the first quarter. They can't wait until halfway through the third or even the fourth quarter, decide, hey, you know what, let's start picking it up a notch, because they're just digging themselves in holes. They're better than a 2-4 team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And then on the other side of that coin, I circled it really big. Davis Alexander, he's my MVP right now.
Oh, yeah.
402 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, he seems to be unstoppable right now. Again, he didn't play all of last year, so maybe it's just the momentum carrying into this year, or maybe he can sustain it for the whole season. It's yet to be determined, but I think by far he's the most outstanding player in the CFL.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that rollout to get out when he was in by the goal line, circled back around, then came out and threw that pretty pass and hit the receiver on the run. Wonderful. Unbelievable play. That was like a vintage Davis Alexander.
I was thinking of a guy that used to play in Calgary back in the 80s.
So a lot of
little guy?
Flakes for us.
Little guy?
Yeah. Little fluty flake guy. Yep.
Little guy. Little guy. You know what, though? You know what? I still say Kyler Murray's going up north next year. So maybe he'll be the next, you know.
That's got the arm for the league.
He's got the legs for the league. I mean, that's, you know, he's kind of the whole But, you know,
yep.
Let's see. We'll be curious to see what happens in Minnesota. But long, long time ago, I projected Kyler would be playing in the CFL. And, you know, not wishing him a bad year, but, you know, if he does have a bad year, hey, go to Canada. It's just, you know.
Well, once again, awesome. This is a quintessential Canadian Football League game. 70 points, almost 950 yards of offense. You had some stops. You had good special teams play. I mean, how can you not? Like, if you're sitting back in the CFL offices going, this is great. This is exactly what we want.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the scores. This has been an amazing season. And if you haven't even watched a game, you're looking at the scores going, shit, what am I missing? I'm missing something here. Yeah, this is the – and this it'll be interesting to see, too, with the way the season is going, if they table the rule changes, some of the rule changes. Obviously, the bigger – you know, shrinking the field. Because when it comes to the field – a lot of these, you know, most of them actually, well, except Toronto and BC. Well, Edmonton. Okay, so maybe a number of the teams share the stadiums with other sports programs and other football teams that, I don't know, has U Sports made, you know, maybe you guys probably don't know, but do we know if U Sports has made a decision in terms of field length for their Canadian football team, their Canadian football fields size wise for next year?
I haven't heard anything.
I have not heard. And I'm not sure if there's a pressing concern for U Sports to make a decision because the CFL has already acknowledge that they are responsible for any field costs associated.
Right.
So, and I know there's a lot of talk of maybe they'll change it, but I just don't, if something's going to be happening, it has to be done sometime soon because you have to order this turf. Like it takes a long time. And now if you're looking at 9 fields, to turn over and then install and just the process to it. If there is going to be a pause on this decision, it has to be done pretty soon. Or if it's going to be paused, I can see the CFL not seeing anything, but you can't, you got to be getting close to where either you do it or you don't, just on having to create, just go to your partner and go, look, we got to make these fields or schedule it or whatever the process. I've gone through doing a new turf for a field for a facility, and that it was an over a year long process for that.
Okay. Oh, well, I personally think the CFL is making the wrong decision, but with the field, and I think you guys are kind of on the same page with me. So, and then the other, other issue, obviously, is the playoff format, which for next year, which really doesn't make sense. But that's a whole nother. I know it's all about money. But
a reported $500 million means there'll be 8 out of 9 teams in the playoffs next year.
Yeah. Well, it's like hockey. Yeah, everybody's in the playoffs except the Blackhawks.
But you know, I think we've seen it's hard to win on the road.
Yeah.
So if you're going on the road, like say you are the 8th team, say you're the 4th place team, and the example is you're the 4th place team in the West. You're going on the road playing the 3rd place team. Then you have to go, if you win that, then you have to go on the road again. Then you're literally playing 4 road games to get to the Grey Cup. To be like, so I mean, if yes, you're adding teams that may not necessarily in the past deserve to be in that, but if you can be the 4th place team and get to the Grey Cup, you earned it because you got to beat good football teams in tough weather every game on the road. Like you're not going to play it at home.
Right. Well, you know what? And that means we got to have Howie Mooney on at some point. Talk about that. Cause if anybody would know that, he would know that, you know, cause he is the premier Ottawa Rough Riders historian. So we'll have to get him back on and talk about that. We had Hamilton over Toronto, 24-23. This was the one game I did not watch because apparently when I turned on CFL Plus, when I had time to finally do the on-demand, yeah, game was nowhere to be found. They just replayed the game before, Calgary-Montreal game. So, Mike, Dave, did you guys see this game?
I watched highlights of it, and I think the Trey Ford show was trying to be the Mike Vick show. 218 yards passing, 109 yards rushing. My concern is consistency with that. You have to utilize the weapons around you. You know, a bit. Roundtree had 44 yards. I mean, it is what it is, but he's got more than capable enough receivers. If his offensive line can just give him enough protection, consistency throughout a season as a mobile quarterback, that's not easy to do. So it'll be interesting to see if he adjusts or if he's just going to keep that style of play. I think when you get against the better defenses, you're going to get snake bitten with that. Defensively for Toronto, this was one of their fewest points they've given up all year, but they average 34.5 points a game they give up. So it's not like Ford was playing the best defense in the league by any means. Right. With that, with Toronto, again, they came out flat in the first half. Chad Kelly had a costly turnover, and it really, I think, made the difference between the turnover and showing up flat in the first half. It's hard. It's tough. So props to Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is with Hamilton, at least with Trey Ford now, they're kind of multifaceted because they got, you know, I mean, completely, they have a completely different look versus when Bo Levi was beyond there. But with the Argonauts, I mean, it's the same team. They're just very, very one-dimensional. And with this game, too, it's also a battle of second place. And I think it's going to be these two teams battling it out for second place the entire year, the rest of the season. I can't see either one of them the way they are right now catching Montreal.
Oh, I agree. Unless knock on wood, there's injuries. And that's the wild card with Hamilton 2 weeks ago. But, I mean, I'll give the Tiger Cats coaching staff a lot of credit for putting together a game plan to win. And that was really completely out of left field, that game. Cause there was no expectation of anything that happened. Trey Ford was just running loose and making plays. And if that's what it's going to take over the next few weeks to keep Hamilton in the mix, I'm pretty sure Hamilton's willing to do that. So and Mike said, the better defenses are gonna find ways. And now there's tape. Before this, you had to go back to Edmonton. I don't think, and obviously there's, I'll be corrected if I'm wrong on this. I mean, Trey Ford himself had 330 yards of the 400 yards the team had. I'm not sure if he did that with Edmonton. He was the focal point. He held the ball. He made the plays happen. And until he gets more comfortable, because I mean, it's been what, 2 weeks, and what has he had? Maybe if they're practicing every day, maybe a dozen practices where he's getting all the reps, and he's got Kenny Law. He's got good receivers. He's got it, but he needs time to develop that. He needs time to be able to get that rhythm, because I guarantee prior to Bo Levi Mitchell going down, he wasn't getting maybe 10% of the snaps. Like, he's just, I mean, we saw games in the first 3 weeks of the season where Hamilton's up by 35 points and Mitchell's still in the game. He's not coming out. Mm-hmm. So if this is the kind of effort that Hamilton needs to do, and kudos to that coaching staff, in 2 weeks, completely changed that offense. Like, they went from a drop.
This is not the same team that started the season, is what you're saying.
Oh yeah, no, not at all.
How you plan for everything,
and in 2 weeks to be able to turn that around and create a dangerous Trey Ford, where you had hope he can hit a barn Trey Ford with a pass. So he looked confident. He looked comfortable. And like I said, I can't get enough credit to Hamilton's coaching staff for putting that game plan together to really focus on Trey Ford's positives.
Yeah.
And really give him the opportunity to succeed.
He needs to be able to play his game.
Yes.
When you have a talent like that, I'm, you know, using the Mike Vick example, nobody tried to keep Mike. They said, Mike, what do you want to do? Just go do what you do. And we'll we will game plan around you versus you have to adjust to what we want it, adjust to the system, I'm thinking back in the 70s. I mean, remember Tom Landry had his system and it drove him nuts with Roger Staubach. Roger Staubach every now and then would just like put those legs to use, but they won. So there was, and he trusted Roger enough to do what Roger did when he needed to do it. Now, did Tom Landry like it? No, but because ultimately it was about the system, but at least he had enough faith in his quarterback. Now, if you're going to use your legs, for lack of a better term, that's kind of that's your decision, but if you're going to use them, make it count. Mm-hmm. So,
And that's very, I would say very reminiscent of, Any Given Sunday with Willie Beeman. The challenges for both Ford and Hamilton's coaching staff is if they can catch lightning in a bottle again. So,
yeah, which is one of those movies that I've got to go back and watch, before the start of the football season. And even Gridiron Gang, that's one I'm completely segueing, but Gridiron Gang, that's another one on my watch list that I have. I got it on Blu-ray, but I've never watched it. Like, I need to watch that because it's about a probation officer who, I need to watch that. So not that I ever wanted to be a juvenile probation officer, because that's just, that would have driven me out of that. I don't think I would have lasted in my career if I was dealt with juveniles. But yeah, going back to what you said about, using that movie as an example of what they're dealing with in Hamilton. They're going from what was his name that played the quarterback that got knocked out in Any Given Sunday?
Captain Jack, I forget his last name.
Yeah, Meg Ryan's husband. I can't remember.
Dennis Quaid is his real name.
Dennis Quaid, yeah.
Yeah.
And then going to Jamie Foxx. Yeah, that's a big change. That's a huge change. Just to wrap this up. Yeah, no, I mean, Toronto, very one-dimensional. Hamilton, we'll see. But still, I think at the end of the day, it's a battle of second place. Now, what happens with Toronto? I mean, I think Toronto is going to keep, it's going to win. It's probably going to be about a 500 team. But if they don't, then we're looking at maybe a possible crossover, which is a topic for down the road. Okay, and then finally, lastly, we had Winnipeg 36, the California Adams 34. Oh, I mean, the Ottawa Red Blacks. 34. Speaking of movies, you guys know what that references to?
No.
Dave?
World Football League?
No, California Adams. All right. So back in the 70s, there was a movie called Gus, the field goal kicking mule.
Oh, okay.
And the theme was the California Adams. They were perpetual losers until they imported a donkey to kick field goals. Yeah. So I think that's what they kind of need at this point, because looking at the scores, yeah, they could have used a donkey to at least kick maybe one or two and would have put them over the top, and they wouldn't be winless right now.
But I mean, as I shared earlier with you guys, their field goal kicker helped win me my week. So I'm good.
It's true. That's a good point.
That's a good problem.
They combined for 12 field goals. 12 for 12.
Yeah, this one, I'm watching this game, I'm like, that's a lot of freaking field goals. It's like I almost was ready to turn it off. And then obviously, things kind of picked up speed after that. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. I just think it's just, they win at this point. I mean, they're frustrated. Everybody in Ottawa is frustrated. I don't know what they do other than just keep, keep trying. And Winnipeg is 4-2. So with the standings, let me look at the standings here. All right, so Edmonton's 5-1. The Riders are 4-1. Winnipeg's 4-2. Okay. And then we got Calgary's 2-4, but they're playing like a 4-2 team. I mean, and even BC. BC's playing a lot better than I think what their record indicates. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I still, every year it always comes down to the East, whether or not that third place team is going to make it in.
No.
So
question for you guys, while we're talking about the standings and the teams, and I got a couple questions about the Winnipeg Ottawa game for you guys as well, but looking at the standings, I could put a pretty good, discussion that I could say, I feel that Calgary and BC with their records are a better team than Winnipeg.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say that. There's a case.
I'm not saying leaps and bounds, but
look at Winnipeg, the points for and against. Just look at, use that metric.
And I don't want to say Winnipeg's been lucky, but they're a well-coached team. I can argue to say the best coach in the league. So that's going to get you some
more
wins
luck
and losses.
And experience?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
it more
it's
experience than luck.
It's just oh, as Winnipeg has done for the past 6 years.
Yeah.
They've had some really great second halves, and they're really good at changing on the fly and correcting things. And I mean, in that Ottawa Winnipeg game, just to touch that real quick, it just seemed like Ottawa just decided, like, you know what, we're up by enough points,
mm-hmm.
and that fourth quarter, it just seemed like they were pretty content on being very conservative.
Yeah.
Not going outside of their comfort zone, which means just a ton of two and outs and just very lackluster play. And then Winnipeg with nothing to lose, all of a sudden, you know what? Let's make some plays. What? Drew Brown, get after it. Find somebody. And, I mentioned this to you before the broadcast, Greg, that those two point conversion settings, it was just so clear, at least for me, how prepared Winnipeg was for that and how unprepared Ottawa was. If you watch those highlights, first one, Eugene Lewis, I think made the catch of his entire career on the 2 point conversion that he caught in the corner. Because even the broadcaster said, "Oh, it was a nice try." They had no clue that he actually caught that ball between those two defenders and got it. And then they replayed and showed how unbelievable that catch was. But if you watch how the defense lined up for Winnipeg, and I don't want to go too deep in the X's and O's and stuff, but Winnipeg's linebackers, cornerbacks were on the goal line. You saw the safeties back maybe 10 yards, but everybody was on the goal line. And for Ottawa, when Winnipeg was doing those 2-point conversions, everybody was 10 yards off the ball. By the time the ball was snapped, Drew Brown threw it, and they had the last one that they ended up winning the game on. They had four different receivers wide open in the a yard deep into the end zone. Like that is just, I don't know how at this level that can happen, but that's my rambling, yeah. I guess my rambling on that game, but I was just so surprised on how poor of a defense that was. And that just showed the fourth quarter that,
yeah,
there were so many receivers open for Winnipeg the whole fourth quarter. It was Drew Brown, that Ottawa defense made Drew Brown look like an all pro.
Yeah. But it's Ottawa. You know, at this point, I mean, I feel bad for any team that's winless. But all you can do is just play the next game. I mean, yep. Even though they're 0-6, their seasons ain't over yet. They could easily make a run. But, you know, I mean, no, it's not going to happen. But, you know, hypothetically, you know, they're not out of it. They're still in the mix. I mean, there's still a lot of foot. The season's only one third of the way over. So
that's wild.
So they still got two thirds. I mean, again, it goes in what, like what you said, boils down to injuries. You know, who knows? Who knows? So, all right. So let's wrap the week up here and let's talk about really, to me, was probably was the obviously the most important news of the CFL week, and that was the death of Jaden Dalkey. Did I pronounce his last name right? Because I only heard it once, and I wasn't sure how I needed to pronounce it. I mean, I've watched him on playing the game, but just the pronunciation of his last name, I've never, you know, never had stuck in my head. Your guys' thoughts as to this, because the writers were obviously on a bye, and he was killed in a car accident. Obviously the writers put out a statement, the CFL put out a statement, but let me ask you guys this. How does a team respond to a death of one of their starters, a player like this, an impact player, moving forward?
Yeah, I would say I've had the unfortunate reality of losing a few teammates during season. And it's definitely, you know, it's numbing to an extent, and to the point where you don't even think about football. You just come together for your teammates that are there and for who you lost. I could share a personal experience. Way back in the day when I was in high school, we were playing the number one team in the state. They were undefeated, projected state champs. At that point, we were 1-4. We weren't having a good year, and unfortunately, one of our teammates had passed away from Ewing sarcoma. And I think the line for the game, we were projected to lose by 48 points. We went out and we won 33-0 against what would be the state champs. And I think when you get in those moments, it's emotion. It really is camaraderie and coming together. Not only for yourselves, but for the one that you lost, and you try to just build a foundation from there. Anytime you lose a player, a teammate, obviously the teammate's going to be in your hearts forever, definitely for that season, because every day you go in the locker room, you're going to walk past his locker, and it's going to be empty. So, but you carry, the memories and everything with you every time you step out in the field, for better or worse. So, really one of two things could happen. Rough Riders, they can carry, that emotion going into the season, or they can let it be a distraction. But because these guys are professionals, I think they'll do what they need to do to take care of what happens on the field.
Dave?
I agree. Yeah, it's gonna be a tough week. It's gonna be a tough rest of the season, because it'll be a constant reminder, and it sounds like the league and the team are taking the right steps in making sure that everyone is taken care of how they need to be taken care of, and I wish nothing but the best to the families. My condolences and the Riders team and the Riders fans. It's gonna be a rough few months, obviously, because it's someone who is a large part of the franchise, large part of the family. They're such a family franchise in that aspect of it.
Yeah.
It will be, it'll be as Mike said perfectly, football is secondary right now. They all have a job to do, but they're also human beings and need to make sure they work through what they need to work through. Because if you don't, the football season is going to be a mess. It's just how life works.
No, I've never experienced, in terms of me just being on a team where somebody had passed away, but I can only imagine what that's like. Again, like you said, walking, the reality hits you that he ain't gonna be there, and he was the team captain and he was always there, so those are big shoes to fill. And I echo the words of Dave and Mike when it comes to comes to his death. I mean, it just, when I heard the news, and I was like, you know what? The games really don't mean that much to me at this point this weekend when you hear news like that, because it's, you know, we watch sports to take us out of the real world. And then when you hear the news like that, boy, the real world comes rushing in. And obviously the games are a way to, you know, take our mind off of it. But, you know, just everybody was playing, you know, and there was, it happened, what, Sun? When it happened, let's see here. It happened on.
It happened Saturday?
Yeah, it happens. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it happened Saturday. So, like I said, I was not able to watch the Toronto. It happened Saturday. I wasn't able to watch the Toronto game. So when I was watching the Ottawa game, I mean, you could tell just, on both sides, just how much that weighed on everybody's mind when they gave the tribute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, it's heartbreaking. And hopefully, like you said, hopefully family's taken care of. And, you know, the CFL has always been pretty good about taking care of their own, at least in the modern era here in the 21st century. So hopefully that continues. And like you said, it's, you know, the rough, I mean, the Rough Riders, it's small town team. So, you know, I would expect them to rally and do what need and do the right thing. And again, it's the CFL. I mean, they seem to always take care of their people. The owners got a lot better owners now than we did back in the 20th century. So yeah, moving forward, but yeah, it's, and it, you know, it's going to be a tough week for them moving into the moving into next week, when they have to suit up again, which, you know, so kind of gets me. And of course they're playing Thursday night. So this is going to be a short week for them anyway. And so it's a home game against the Elks.
It's a big game.
Yeah. Huge game for first place. So yeah, I mean, his death is going to be very impactful because of just even the meaning of this game and what it means for moving on for the season. So, all right. So with that said, oh yeah, go ahead, Dave.
How's it be interesting? How the practice schedule with everything, how yeah, that is changed, if that's impacted or how that is going to progress, because obviously with they've been having practices right up through the weekend. But obviously there's gonna be time. I mean, it's gonna throw things into a your rhythm, and Mike, you can probably speak to this better than me. That rhythm during the season of practice and keeping your daily rituals and habits is key.
Yeah, it's, especially when something like that happens, it's definitely a shortened week. It's more mental preparation. You know, at this point of the year, physically the players, at least they should be where they need to be. It's more mental focus and, especially for the Rough Riders, how they're going to overcome said adversity. So I think that'll tell a lot about their character and who they are as not only football players, but human beings, and how they can handle that adversity. But the biggest benefit the players can have is shortened days. That way they're not, you know, having to go through practices with heavy hearts, and they're not able to focus. You know, there's, that allows, you know, having gone through that a couple times, that situation, that allows, you know, from a player perspective, it allows you time to compartmentalize to the best of your ability, a time to grieve and a time when you have to try your best.
The schedule, definitely practice schedule, you know you're gonna have at least walkthroughs, but in terms of what they do beyond that, it's gonna be tough. So all right, guys. So on that note, let's look ahead to the other, you know, so obviously we got the Riders Elks game coming up, but we also got basically the battle for third place coming up, Winnipeg and Calgary. Going to be a good game. I'm going with Calgary on this one. Toronto is at BC. BC's coming home finally, playing in the Dome. I'm thinking this is one BC is going to take. What do you guys think with Calgary, Winnipeg, and Toronto, BC?
For the Winnipeg, Calgary, I would say this one, the notes that I had when they played Ottawa, It just depends on when Winnipeg wants to play offense. In the last 13:39 of the fourth quarter against Ottawa, they outscored Ottawa 27-8. So again, it really just depends, you know, when when Winnipeg wants to get the ball rolling. Conversely, with Calgary, it's a game of who's going to start faster, because they're both, from this last week especially, they both had slow starts. So I think the team in that game who starts fast is going to be the team that wins.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then we got Hamilton, Montreal. Your thoughts, guys? Dave?
I
didn't ask you about the Toronto BC game. I mean, the Calgary Winnipeg.
I'll go with Calgary. I think their two-phase game is too much for Winnipeg. And I'm going to go with Toronto and BC. BC has been very strong stopping the run, but stopping the pass has not been their forte. And this could be a game where the Argos actually, the defense matches the Argo style of play. So I can see Toronto putting up some points up, and the way they have to win all year is going to be outscoring everybody. I just don't see Montreal losing anytime soon. I think they're just too well-oiled a machine right now. They are on the ground, in the air, field goal kicking,
averaging over 50 yards a
punt. Yeah, I mean, they were averaging over 50 yards a punt. They're getting great returns, whether it's kickoff or punts. They're just rolling. And I mean, Trey Ford can have another good game, but I just don't see that being enough. I can see Montreal putting up a good size number on Hamilton.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right, guys. Well, on that note, let's wrap it up here. Did you guys watch a World Cup at all?
I watched the final, and it was about what I expected it to be. I had Spain winning, but I didn't think it would go into extra time. But seeing Messi to react the way he did, in my gut, it tells me that he's done. But I guess we'll see what happens. But great turnout in that giant stadium. It's really amazing, especially with these more modernized stadiums, how they're able to completely unbrand all of the in this case the NFL teams that play at these stadiums. It took me a minute, and when they panned out and I seen the overhead, I said, "Oh, that's MetLife," because there was no branding about the Jets or the Giants or anything at all. And I think they did a really good job with that.
And they just referred to it as the stadium in New Jersey. They didn't even. I was surprised they didn't even try and rebrand it themselves. But for me, I watched the final as well. Messi just didn't look himself. He looked tired for the first time. Like he looked. That whole Argentinian team just looked tired. I mean, going there, it was expected that Spain was going to have the ball. But even when Argentina got the ball back, there just wasn't much kick in there. There wasn't much. They don't really play a style that there's any kind of urgency. But even when the turnover happened and Argentina got the ball and they're moving it down the field, it just seemed very uncoordinated. And I give that credit to Spain. Obviously, they know each other well. They've played each other many, many, many times. Spain just showed how great of a team it is. And that's how you win these things, is you need the best team.
Yeah.
But kudos to the Argentinian goalie. Yeah, I feel bad that he got hurt and they had to bring a sub in. And granted, there's no way that the starting goalie was going to make that save when the guy was coming in. Like, there wasn't anything he could do, but it was a shame to see the starting goalie for Argentina go down, because he played such an unbelievable game to keep them in it.
Broke his finger, didn't he?
He hurt his finger earlier in the tournament, or even before the tournament. He played the tournament with 9 fingers. It was wild, the story. And then it's just, I know he had some leg problems. It stunk, but it wasn't. The goal that was scored to win it wasn't a save he was going to make. It was the backup goalie did not cost him the World Cup.
No.
I never got a chance to watch it. It was on way too early here for me and my sleep schedule. So, but AFC Richmond's coming back next month. So looking forward to that.
They just beat Man U in a friendly.
AFC Richmond?
No, I was joking. It was the Ryan Reynolds team.
Oh, okay. No. I was like, waiting.
I know. Ted Lasso.
Yeah. Mike, were you in on the joke?
I picked up on what he was putting down.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
I was joking around with the Wrexham, but yeah.
I've never seen the Wrexham show. Is it worth watching?
It's worth watching. I'll give you that. Okay. It is worth watching.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to soccer, I mean, I'm more into soccer, like TV shows, like, you know, Ted Lasso or great English soccer movie. The Damn United.
Yeah,
which very good. is one of the best movies I've ever seen. So, Brian Clough, about Brian Clough, yep, and the whole Leeds United team. And yeah, no, it was awesome. So, all right, guys. Well, on that note, let's wrap it up here. Before we do, hey, we're on Rumble too. We're on YouTube. We're on Rumble, and we're posting. And you know, people are watching us on Rumble, so they don't get the live stream, unfortunately. But Rumble's one of our other outlets. But you can find, if you go to gridironamerica.net, you can find where we're at everywhere on social media. And you know, it's kind of nice new. I've been seeing our numbers have been up quite a bit this month. So us kicking out weekly content is definitely, it's nice to see the podcast is back on the highway, and you know, we're airing it out, and we're moving down the road. It was sitting in the garage for way too long, but so hey, that's it. Final thoughts, guys, before we sign off.
It's a great week of football, and I hope we can carry that momentum into next week, starting on Thursday. It's a great way to start the week. So.
Yeah, and we've got – and training camps open up, what, this week?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot more to talk about. So our CFL coverage will get kind of compressed a little bit as we move into training camp and the preseason, because we got to talk about – I mean, we can't ignore the NFL, so we got to talk about that. But also, too, I got to get our fantasy football league set up, too, as well. Yeah. So that's on my to-do list this week. So, and for those, it'll be the three of us, and then we're going to put it out for anybody who wants to join, but I think we're going to cap it at 18. So it'll be five other listeners, maybe three other, I mean, just depends who signs up first, between listeners and even friends of ours that listen to the show. So, but yeah, probably an 18 league, because that makes the most sense, because that way you get more free agents. It makes things a lot more interesting when you have more players available, because when you're sitting there going, crap, there's too many guys to choose from, and I know if I pick anyone, he's probably going to be good, but what if he's the one guy that is, you know, is not the best out of the best? So all right,
if your league is relying on Joe Flacco at week 8 to be a starter, you have too many teams.
I'm in a 12 team league for work, for my old job. Is it 12 team? Yeah, no, we're a 12 team league. It's painful. Because the key thing is with fantasy football, when you're in a 12 team league, it's not about your starters, it's about your bench.
Yep.
And then that's like reading a crystal. And that's where the AI is so important now to figure things out. Because without it, I mean, still with the AI, you're shooting, you know, it's like you're tossing darts in the dark. But before AI, you know, it was truly you were in the dark, but AI at least gives you numbers and some science to back up, you know, those bench picks. So, all right. Well, all that said, enough of that. But hey, we'll see everybody next week. And feel free to reach out to us at gridironamericaradio@gmail.com if you got any questions, complaints. And if you like us, we're on Apple Podcast. If you like us, you know, please hit that. If you can give us a 5-star review, that would be nice, because we had a couple trolls several years ago give us 1-star reviews, and it took away our continuous 5-star rating. So not begging, more like pleading. But on that note, yeah, Yeah, Dave's so Dave's please. Praying. Yeah,
now pleading, please.
Yeah, and also too, we will be bringing back come autumn some Gridiron Japan segments to go over what's going on here. I'll bring the brand back at least as a graphic on the screen, and maybe even the theme music to the old show. But anybody who's wondering what happened to the Gridiron Japan podcast, well, that's an ice right now, and unfortunately for the foreseeable future. But you know, we consolidated the brand and put it here with under Gridiron America, and that's the reason why there's a Japanese flag on our logo. So, all right, on that ends it. We'll talk to you guys later, and have a good one.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know that. Can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.